Hotel history is created for adult audiences. Content may not be suitable for all listeners. Discretion is advised. You're listening to Hotel History. We take you with us through the sordid history and scandals of some of the world's most famous and infamous hotels. I'm Dieta.
And I'm Yael. Let's get started.
Today we are with Brandon Berkson from Hotels Above Par. Brandon, I'm just going to let you jump in. Tell us about yourself and how you got started in this crazy hotel industry.
Thank you for having me, first off. And yeah, I'm the CEO of Hotels Above Par. Hotels Above Par is an expert curated guide to the world's coolest boutique hotels and travel experiences. We really harness the definition of anything boutique, whether that's from hotels to travel. I've always loved boutique hotels. They've been my greatest passion. I started my career as a bellboy at the Mystic Hotel, which is now a Pali Society Hotel in San Francisco. So I was a bellboy there, and that was, let's see, that was when I was in college. And then, you know, fast forward all these years now, I then worked in hotel PR. And then when I was I was furloughed during the pandemic. I'd worked on social media a lot while working in hotel PR. I have always been so fascinated by hotels. And I think during this time where, you know, hotels during the pandemic needed love most, they needed support just to be talked about. I kind of came up with this idea of just, and it also was to keep me busy. I was on furlough, to have these beautiful pictures of boutique hotels and then pair them with articles that fit in their entirety as a caption. And it was really for like social media, for people who consume their news on Instagram first. And I think a lot of people were on Instagram scrolling like during this time because we couldn't travel anywhere. So it was this kind of this nice dose of wanderlust. So fast forward, and we ended up like growing exponentially. And I ended up having journalists on we did these like cringe Instagram lives. And I would have some of my journalist contacts from when I was working PR join me. And we would just talk about hotels and different subjects, and people just were really into it. I honestly think it was because like so many people were at home and just didn't have anything to do. But it grew exponentially. I ended up going back to work in hotel PR. And then I was like, you know what? I want to do this full time. Like, I feel like I'm in a place where I can do this. So in April 2021, I ended up going fully full time with Hotels Above Par. And, you know, we created a website and a newsletter to make it a full-fledged media company. I ended up getting budget to be able to hire a couple people to do freelance articles, help build the website. Today we have over 400,000 readers. We have a print magazine. We have a network of 40, even more than 40 of some of the best travel journalists in the world, at least I think so. We've been featured in Forbes, we've been featured in Travel and Leisure, CNBC. So we've gotten some really nice attention from the press. What's been really nice too, and I think this is one of my favorite parts, is our readership is these people who love boutique hotels so much. They like sleep, they eat it, they breathe it. It's an interesting place being where we are in the media market, because there aren't too many other publications that like are strictly like boutique hotels and boutique style travel. I think it's worth saying also we do destination guides and restaurant roundups, just has to be boutique. So I think that our the combined love of, you know, our readers who love boutique hotels so much, and then just how so many people were looking to travel pre and post or during the pandemic, post pandemic, really helped contribute to our success.
Yeah, I know. I have to say that I remember just sitting in my house in 2020, just planning elaborate trips for someday when they let us out again. So I wish that I had found Hotels Above Par way back then.
Instagram is a great place for hotels because you need to get people's attention through images more than if there was a paragraph describing the hotel, that's great. I mean, obviously we write about hotels too, but like you want to see it. So I feel like that's the way to go.
Yeah. You
know, it's like a perfect marriage there.
And I think we recognize that so many people, like at least millennials and Gen X who are our main target group, like they're consuming their news a lot of the time on Instagram first. So having that there. And then I know that when I look up something and I'm like, someone tells me a hotel, I look at the Instagram first before I go on the website. And I think that's kind of like a millennial kind of move. Mm-hmm. Also, you know, a lot of these people who read Hotels Papar and everything, it caters to a group of, you know, millennials and Gen X. We don't really have a huge Gen Z target. It's mostly like millennial and Gen X, but they don't want to read 2,000 word articles anymore because there's so many distractions, whether it's a boisterous ad or a hyperlink that takes you to the next page from a 2,000 word article. So all our articles, it's worth mentioning today, are between 600 and 800 words. They can be done in 2-3 minutes and they were able to resonate. And we did that because we realized that a lot of readers are short on time. And with all the technological overabundance of content, like, we really felt we needed to keep it at that word count.
Yeah, I also feel like it's a little unnecessary for a 2,000-word article. Like, again, it's a hotel. The visuals are going to speak louder than anything. But as you said, the way that websites are set up now, even I'm reading something that you need all those details, I'm like, I leave half the time because 40,000 ads have popped up. How many times are you going to ask me to sign up? Like, I'm in the middle of the article, ask me after or something, or get the ad for whatever, like laundry detergent out of here.
I know, I always get ones for laundry detergent. I don't know why. But
what are they trying to tell us? You don't have a laundry in like 4 months.
Do my clothes smell or something? I don't know. Like...
So what made you decide boutique hotels?
So boutique hotels have always been my number one passion. Since I was a kid, it's kind of funny. Also, like, a testament that I like didn't have any friends till I was like 12 or 13. I was obsessed with hotels and hospitality. So I'd like force my brother to play like hotel with me. He wanted to play sports. So he was like, why is my brother making me do this? But, I would actually, when I was younger, I hated sports. So they were just like, we're not my thing. I used to ask my parents when we'd go somewhere, and we didn't travel as extensively as, like, you know, I do today. We would go to a hotel and we'd just like walk around the grounds, like the lobby and then the restaurant and stuff like that. And then I would go home and I would like draw it. And I would so it was kind of a fun little thing. I ended up then, you know, just when I got older in like high school, I was like, okay, like, this is not cool. I'm not doing this anymore. but I always loved to travel, and I went to Spain for a summer and I stayed in a couple of boutique hotels, and that was amazing. And then I knew that I wanted to do something with hotels. I didn't know that this is what I wanted to do, like working in media, but I had always had an adoration for boutique hotels. I think they're so special, you know, they really connect you to the heart of a destination. And yeah, it's a lot of the time, I think what's cool about boutique hotels is like when you come in and that person at check-in like greets you, like that a lot of the time is like my first memory of a specific destination that I'm visiting. And I just think boutique hotels have a way of just being so intimate and having such a personality. So then, yeah, when I worked as a bellman, I got to learn the ins and outs. And then through my career, you know, I just really emphasized and amplified how much I love boutique hotels and how much I would rather spend. And like our readers, I would rather spend a little bit more money if it means that I'm staying at somewhere that's like connects you to the heart of the destination or feels boutique-y, as opposed to some corporate. Nothing wrong with mega resorts. Nothing wrong with the really corporate ones. They're just not our jam.
Yeah. Okay. Wow, there's so much there. I also want to like say that I love that story when you were younger. And I have not the same story. I have a similar story about my younger self going to hotels and having like a connection to it, and also wanting to play as a kid. It's funny you call it hospitality. I didn't realize, but I used to play bartender and librarian and secretary, which are all like catered to helping people. And, but it wasn't just me. It was my other siblings. We liked it. And I realized those who want to play that when they're younger actually are very successful. Okay. I didn't want to be a doctor. I wanted to be a cashier. All we wanted was the long nails. And we're like, okay, that's going to be $375, like, and tap on the keyboard. So I relate to that so hard. And the fact that you had these positive memories in the hotels, I think says something, because when I was younger as well, my mom would take us, I'm from New York, and we didn't get to stay at hotels, like actually, you know, go on vacation, but we would go to Manhattan. And the first thing we do is go to the Plaza Hotel, because you're allowed to use their bathroom for free. And they're not weird about it. Like everyone did this. So my mom's like, bathroom break. And I started to become obsessed with the Plaza, with Eloise, all that stuff. And it's that childhood memory. And you're like, this is a safe place. This place is nice. There's something there. Like when you said that, I was like, yes, I get that. That's awesome.
No, I love that you relate to that. That's yeah. Awesome.
Well, I love that you found this niche of boutique hotels, because I think that they have this like energy and vitality that millennial travelers are looking for. Because growing up, like my idea of a hotel is there's either the Plaza, the major resort, or there's Holiday Inn, Best Western, Radisson. Like there's this whole world of in between that I think that interesting, like a place that really makes you go, oh, I want to stay there. And I actually want to spend time in the hotel. I don't want to just sleep there and go. So I think that a lot of the places that you're focusing on really have that energy to them, which is very clear from the photography on your Instagram and the website.
But I also want to say something that it makes sense when you said if you go to a boutique hotel, it's like the you're getting the heart of the wherever you're going, like the you're getting an experience versus a Best Western. It's like you're traveling. Everyone has a different reason for traveling. And if you're going to go and see a place, you want to stay at a boutique hotel. But if you're going and you have to go to like a convention or something, and you want just the predictability of like a Best Western, like that's why they're there, you know, like every place has its purpose. And too often I think boutique hotels are overlooked, but something I noticed is that a big corporations are trying to acquire these boutique hotels, and they realize the gems that they are. And sometimes they'll just be like, okay, we're going to fund you, but you get to keep your personality. And because they realize people don't just want a cold like box to stay in. They want that experience, especially if they're traveling for vacation.
No, I think that's a really good point. You know, we don't just limit ourselves to independent properties. We also do like boutique brands. If, for example, like a boutique brand such as Design Hotels, which is technically under Marriott, or, you know, a Kimpton, which is technically under IHG, you know, we'd never cover an Intercontinental. We'd never cover, you know, a JW Marriott, but these boutique brands that feel boutique to their core, we would absolutely cover those. So I think that that's a really interesting place in the market right now, is how all these like larger hotel conglomerates are realizing the boutique is kind of the future, at least the zeitgeisty thing that's happening right now when it comes to hospitality. I also wanted to play off your point about, you know, about us saying that boutique hotels connect us to the heart of a destination. I think something worth mentioning too is like with boutique hotels is there's so many ounces of like a story everywhere, whether it's the art that was inspired by the destination, or it's like the furniture is from a really cool interior designer that it's like out of that place, or the restaurant is based on a old wives' tale in this like town that you're staying in. I just think there's so many different elements that are worth mentioning when I say like connect to the heart of a destination. That's what I mean, you know?
Yeah. I totally get that. And when you walk into a place, you could feel that if the person in charge understands that, you can feel that in every room of a hotel. Yeah,
it's a boutique hotel. Beautiful.
So what was your vision for where this would go whenever you made your very first post in 2020? Did you foresee all of this? Did you have this like laid out in your head, or were you just like, this will be fun?
No, I had no idea what was about to come. I remember I started and I was at home, and I just remember being so like, what's happening in the world? Am I going to get a job again? Like, okay. Like I'm someone who has to be doing something all the time. Like I'm like not chill. I need to be doing something. So it was like nice to occupy my time with this. And like, I got really passionate about it. And I was like, this is awesome. But did I think it was going to go where it is today? Hell no. I had no idea. I learned along the way. It's a really unique story. I think that like kind of when life gave me furlough, I guess I like kind of made lemonade out of it. And I didn't think it would become a full-fledged media company like to what it is today. I didn't know how successful it would become, and I'm so fortunate for that. So yeah, I think I just saw it as like a fun Instagram page to like highlight hotels and like write little articles. But now it's so much more than that. And I couldn't be more proud of my team and, you know, what we've created. And it's, I'm just so fortunate that we've had all these amazing readers and have really brought us to where we are today. So.
Yeah, well, I think some great things came out of the pandemic then. when people who need a project, me included, I relate to you, say, I can't sit still, like I need to have something. And then we're given the time, magic happens.
Yeah, I was like collecting unemployment and then I was like just doing this. I think that what really, when it really started to get serious was when I left to do full time and we created a website, and that really solidified like, okay, this is here to stay. You know, when I was able to dedicate all my time to it, and, you know, we just expanded past just an Instagram. That's when I started to see a little bit more of a vision each and coming day. And now today, like we are where we are.
So how did, you kind of did mention how you grew your brand from the pandemic to now, which is like the Instagram lives with your journalist friends. But is there anything else like you did it? Because it is a relatively short time, like business wise, when you look in the years, like people are like, yeah, it's been around for 40 years, something. And that makes sense why it's big. But I feel like yours is amazing. And I'm just
skyrocketed,
like,
really
skyrocketed. Like, how did you do that? It's just really impressive.
Well, thank you for the kind words. I appreciate that. And I appreciate your support for the publication. I sold my soul to social media. I literally sold my soul to Instagram and was like, hey, I'll see you in like 5 years. So there are a couple of things. So with the journalists, we would have them share it on LinkedIn and tag Hotels Above Par when they'd write a story, or if it was an Instagram live, they'd go on their account. And then in addition to that, giveaways with different hotels. And we started doing Instagram lives with different hotels too, and they put it on their feed, which is really good. We ran some Instagram ads, which was definitely good. And then giveaways, like I said, in sweepstakes. We also did a lot of collaborating, like co-collab tools with like different brands that were like kind of similar to us. For example, we did one with Mr. Hudson Explorers, which is this really cool LGBTQ publication. And so what's great about those co-collabs, it's like I'm reaching them and they're reaching me. And it's just so mutually beneficial. And I think that like when we did these like different partner, these different co-collabs, whether it's a conjoined article or it's a giveaway or whatever, like you are, what's so special about those is like you're putting yourself on their whole like readership, all their readership's eyeballs. And they're the same thing for us. And so it's just a really good way to maximize reach and exposure. And then, you know, what's really helpful, and I'm going to go back to this again, is like one of the reasons that it excelled so much is because we have really some of the best travel journalists, and they spread the word, and they took a liking to the concept of this boutique hotel publication. And, you know, I just think really they took a liking to it, and that helped spread, you know, the message out there that we're this new publication and we're here to stay. And this is what we cover. So
a lot of work goes into it.
Oh my God. Yeah. No,
yeah. A ton.
People are like, oh my God, you travel all the time. That's so fun. And I'm like, yeah, it's fun. But I'm like also like working 20 fucking hours a day.
Yeah.
Like, oh yeah. We understand. And obviously we're learning all this stuff also. And that's why even asking you these questions and learning from you, like we're taking notes. We're like, yeah, this is how we should do it. We definitely had an amazing opportunity this past fall. We collaborated with a hotel, and people were going to release all that stuff soon. But yeah, when we got there, we were only there for like 4 days. We worked nonstop. It wasn't like, it was so much fun. I would work every day like that. But you wake up as early as you can, and you're doing all this stuff, and like you go to bed as late as you can because you're still doing all this stuff. And it's a lot of fun, but it's still work. It's not just like, oh my God,
You travel.
Showed up.
Yeah. 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 Not just by the pool with a cocktail.
Or like when people will like compare me to like an influencer like that, I'm like, no.
No, it's skill. This is like something I would love more businesses and hotels to understand. Social media even influencing, like what we're doing is just a different variation of marketing and advertising, right? It's like, this is, and journalism, it's not just us with our phones and like, whatever. You got to learn editing, you have to learn copywriting, you have to learn advertising strategies. You have to have all these skill sets. And if you don't, then you're screwed, or you got to pick it up really quickly. But people too often will be like, we're not going to do that. That's just some social media thing. And I was just like, no, this is hard. This is like where it's at.
And so many people consume their news on Instagram first. So, I think something that we try to do too, is we recognize that like sometimes like influencers have taken the authority on like in the expertise position. On like a lot of travel, like people trust them for travel, but we want to keep that trust with the journalists. So what we've done is we've kind of made this hybrid of like putting these journalists on pedestals on Instagram, and really valuing their expertise and saying like, this is where you're going to learn the most from this journalist. And there's nothing wrong with influencers. There really is not. They work really hard and they're great, but we really wanted to restore the knowledge and the expertise and put these journalists on a pedestal during a time where media is kind of having these dark days with, you know, layoffs and all of that. So us really championing the journalists is definitely something I found to be really important in mixing that with social.
Well, I like that because I think journalists or people who take this job as a journalist view, like you, there is some level of respect and understanding I think journalists have versus like the influencer when they go and do business. And it makes sense that the journalist becomes the influencer and the influencer becomes the journalist. I mean, it is such a weird thing. But the thing about influencers that I think I have a criticism of is that there's no professionalism and there's a lot of entitlement. They go and they're just like, you know, there's no understanding of like, there's a person behind, you know, the desk. There's not everything is going to come to you right away. And like, it's just, so I just like the idea that you're taking your journalists and you're like, hey, they're the experts and this is the avenue that we're going to show everyone, but don't forget that they know what they're talking about.
we definitely try and, to emphasize that we try to stray away from like, you know, the influencer who takes a picture with like at least like in the gay world. I mean, I've been my boyfriend and everything. We always laugh at these Insta gays who like literally will just like be in a Speedo and be like, oh my God, I had the best time in Hawaii. Like blah, 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 blah. And we're like, that says nothing about Hawaii. Like this hotel probably paid you to be there and everything. But that literally didn't tell me anything about the destination, didn't tell me anything about like the hotel. And so it's just kind of a funny thing.
It's all about me, right?
Yeah.
That's something that I don't feel comfortable with. I have to get more comfortable with it because that is the world we live in. But yeah, as you said, it doesn't say anything about the hotel. Like I'm taking pictures of like the little tchotchkes in the hotel, the old telephones. And I'm just like, how cute is this? And this guy, he's so nice. The bartender, the whatever. But for some reason, social media doesn't necessarily love that. They do love the pictures of like someone half naked by the pool.
Yeah. And maybe if I had those abs, I would do it. I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, so you did, you started out, you know, writing everything on Instagram, but now that you do have contributing writers and editors, how has that shaped Hotels Above Par, or how is it, you know, maybe changing it a little bit or leading it in its direction?
Yeah, so I'm really fortunate about the journalists that I've taken a liking to the concept. And what's great about them is, you know, they're based all around the world. And they give different perspectives to these different destinations. And what's really, I think, one of the most beneficial things is I can't be in Bhutan for like a hotel opening because that weekend I'm going to like, I don't know, like Paris for like a hotel convention or whatever. Like there's so many places around the world that are opening up as new hotels. And I can't go to Bhutan for 3 days. So like if we have a journalist who's like based around there, they'll go and they'll fly them out and then they'll do a review and everything. So it's nice having a whole network, and that really enriched our assemblage of hotels that we feature and that we've written hotel reviews on, because without them, we wouldn't have been able to access these different places. And when we do a hotel review, the journalist has to have stayed there and experienced it. So I would say that. And then my colleague, Brittany, she's amazing. She's our associate editor. She takes on a lot of like the writing too. And then we have two other part-time people who help take on the writing as well. So they're amazing. They're great. My team's phenomenal. I'm really so fortunate for them. But in addition to that, I'm so fortunate for the freelancers who are really around the globe.
So what elements does a place that you're going to cover, boutique hotel, you said you also do restaurants as well. And I noticed some just kind of general like destination articles on the website too, getting a bit bigger from just looking at a hotel. But what do any of these places need to have? What makes you want to feature them?
Yeah, I think, we really go for things that are boutique-y. They feel independent or they are independent. They feel that they have their own unique vibe to them and that they're inimitable. You can't get it anywhere else. Just these things that make it feel so individualistic, I would say is the biggest trait, and straying away from anything hyper corporate, anything like too commercialized. And we're very, very like meticulous about that. So if something's borderline, we'll really have to analyze it. And because we really do want to maintain our editorial integrity. Yeah. So it just really has to feel individualistic, because if it doesn't, then that really is kind of a disappointment to our readers. Very boutique-y, boutique-y, boutique-y.
Well, okay. I have another like random question about that. So boutique-y, look, there's so many. When you do pick a hotel, let's say you're traveling for whatever reason, maybe not even for work, but just to stay, what are the things that like you look for in a hotel, the accommodations or like, what are they called? It's on the tip of my tongue.
The amenities?
The amenities. Yes. Thank you. what does a hotel need to have?
I am a workaholic, so it needs to have good Wi-Fi no matter what. And that's a big thing. I love a hotel with a library. I'm obsessed with coffee table books. I was just at this one hotel in Berlin and they had like this awesome library with all these cool coffee table books. And I was just like in heaven. So I mean, not every hotel has to have this, but I really do when there's a really cool library, because there's always a different assemblage of like books in there. I would say I also really enjoy having a balcony, which is nice. I like to go outside and like in the morning, start my day. Yeah, I think those things. And then of course, more than anything is the service. You can have a really beautiful hotel that's amazing, but if the service is off, it ruins your hospitality experience, and we do work in hospitality, so we need to emphasize that word. I would say service has to be good. The Wi-Fi always has to work. I hate having to like leave the hotel and go to like some place at like at 10 p.m., like at some like internet cafe that still exists and be able to do my work. So yeah, that's a big thing. So yeah, Wi-Fi, the library, which is, like I said, so fun, and the service.
I feel like those are essential. Like, yeah, that's like a good list to have.
And my favorite is when they have thematic suites. So there's like this one hotel in Amsterdam called Pulitzer Amsterdam. They have a book collector suite. And then they have like one that's like based on music. And then Riggs, Washington, D.C. has like the First Lady suite, which is like dedicated to four first ladies throughout our history. And so when there's a theme for a suite, I get so excited. Yes. I have to see it or have to stay in it.
Have you ever stayed at the Watergate Hotel?
I haven't.
Okay, they have the Richard Nixon suite. We got to collaborate with a hotel in DC and we went to visit a bunch of all these hotels. Oh, you would love it. It's so fun. Like it's we cool. Didn't stay in the suite, but we spoke to the people about it. They have like a little museum. Like it's.
Or in New York, the Library Hotel, where each floor is a different Dewey Decimal System section. And so all the rooms are then themed around part of whatever is in that Dewey Decimal number.
That's so cool. I love when you're going to a boutique hotel and it has like 12 or 13 rooms and each room has a different decor, like the Chandler in Newport. Each one has like a different personality. And I think that's just so cool.
Yeah, it's so fun. Oh, that makes me think of the Madonna Inn here. It's so kitschy.
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah. No, I know that one. Yeah, yeah. It's quirky. It's cool.
Yeah, I don't know why hotels don't do that more. Like, they should really, whenever there's a history there or a story, people, I think hotels need to lean into it. Some hotels are stay away. Like there's some hotels that have famous ghost stories and they'll be like, we don't want to talk about this. I'm like, but everyone in here, you know, they came for the ghost story. They like are spending all their money to stay in the suite that the ghost haunted or whatever, whatever story. And they're like, don't mention it. I'm like, you have to mention this. Like it's part of your history. How can you not? So just like lean into the theme, like the Plaza did with the Great Gatsby and Eloise. And, you know, I just love that.
To that end, my least favorite thing, my biggest pet peeve is when places try to be another place. So if you're like in like New York and you're going to like the, this is a made up hotel, but I just can't think of anything on the top of my head right now. But like you're in New York and you're going to like the Tahiti Inn and it's like themed about Tahiti. I'm like, no, like make it cool, but it's New York. This isn't Tahiti. Like if a Tahitian hotel should belong in Tahiti, like let's come up with something else that connects people to the heart of a destination. Cause like Tahiti is not it.
Yeah. I agree with that. Yeah.
Absolutely.
It stick to the essence of the location, unless you're Vegas.
Unless you're in Vegas. Vegas gets a pass. Like maybe like Atlantic City too. Yeah.
Yeah.
They get passes for sure.
And they can be gaudy.
Anywhere the mafia ran at some point, yeah, we're going to give them a pass.
But Vegas, the whole existence is that they created this kind of like paradise in the desert, which it was a blank slate. Like there was no theme really. Even the desert there is not like,
like, even desert wasn't a good enough theme.
No, it's because it's like it, you have to like go. I lived in Vegas for a little bit and I worked on the strip in the hotels a lot. So it's like the desert that you think is nice is a little bit farther out, and where Vegas is really just like dead. Like it's just land, beige land, in my opinion. I don't know if someone else has a different opinion, but so I feel like they went and they're like, okay, let's make anything happen, and the bigger the better. Is there, do you have a favorite hotel in Vegas? Have you been?
You know, I haven't been to Vegas in like, let's see, like 10 years. I wouldn't know. Let's see. I went when I turned 21. So it was 8 years ago. And I like didn't, I think we stayed at like Planet Hollywood, which was definitely not a favorite hotel.
I stayed there too.
Yeah. but I'd have to go back. I'm dying to stay at the Delano. They keep things really boutique, and I know they just opened up there, or not just, but they had the Cosmopolitan, supposed to be really cool, but I can't tell you first person because I haven't been there in so long, but I like the branding of the Cosmopolitan.
Yeah. Yeah. I've haven't necessarily stayed in, a lot of the hotels, but I've been in a lot of the hotels, and, yeah, the Cosmopolitan is interesting. It's fun. Something that's really sad is these like historic boutique hotels are closing in a lot of places, like the Tropicana, I think closed recently, and like it makes me sad. But go before they close everything.
That's go before they close. Yeah.
So you were mentioning that one of the things you have to have is great service in a hotel. So what, in your opinion, is great service? What makes a hotel have great hospitality?
So there's a couple of things, but I think the main paramount thing is personalization. It goes a really long way from a handwritten note that says, welcome, like, thank you so much for staying with us. If you need anything, like, my name's Jim, I'm the manager, that kind of thing. You know, if it's someone's birthday, the staff doing little things like, you know, putting balloons outside their door when they wake up, or giving them like a complimentary dessert that says happy birthday, just like those kind of things really, really propel a hospitality experience. And that was definitely something I learned while working as a bellman, is because I also would do the front desk sometimes and I would do breakfast. It was a small hotel, so it was kind of like a jack of all trades there. Everyone had a hands-on experience. So I would say that that's definitely something. It's just being able to say to your guest, oh, hey, like, I know it's your birthday tomorrow, so like, we wanted to like arrange this for you. Did you want us to make a reservation somewhere? Or is it like, when you get back, let's say it's your honeymoon and you need the hotel to do something romantic, and they set up rose petals and put, you know, you and your partner's name on the bed, like, and like, I don't know, like chocolate, you know, like those kind of things go a long way. And I can tell you that some of my most memorable experiences have been through that. I know there was a recent one, which was at the Leela Udaipur in India. Like, honestly, if Indian hospitality is phenomenal, I think it's really some of the best in the world. We had like a private butler, and we would just like talk to him via WhatsApp. We'll be like, hey, like, how's it going, Rashib? Could you please, you know, send over like a chicken tikka masala? We're kind of hungry. And then it would be there in like 10 minutes. There's also service like, this is not as much personalization, but just like being so hands-on. Casa Angelino, which is really one of my favorite hotels in the world. Like, you sneeze and they're like, here's a tissue, like in a second. Like, just from personalization to just being so hospitable and accommodating, I think that those two are kind of a fusion that create the perfect recipe for a great hotel experience.
Yeah, almost like the staff, this maybe is a tall order to ask, but like to treat the guests as if they were coming to your house. You know, if your guest sneezed, you'd be like, here's a tissue. Or if you're, you know, we agree. And, you know, not everyone, the higher end the hotel, you assume it'd be better hospitality. But I believe that you can have good hospitality anywhere just with like the right attitude. You know, obviously, if there's some guests that are incredibly rude, maybe you don't have to go like over the top. I understand it's stressful because I also have worked in a hotel. But for the most part, I think there is just like, if you can do the bare minimum, it should be like, good, you know, say their name, like, good morning, Mr. whatever. And so there is this like attitude that should be there in a place that it really makes the whole vibe change and the experience totally, better.
Totally. I mean, from your experience really starts from the second that you check in, and that's your first impression. So yeah, it's definitely being hospitable all around and being gracious.
So I think everything that we've just been talking about probably leads into our next question, which is on your website, we noticed something called the Star Awards. So what is that?
So yes, so the Star Awards, we awarded hotels for being exceedingly boutique. So whether if there's a story behind them, because most boutique hotels have a story behind them, if there's an above par element that, you know, basically separates it from other public, from other hotels, something that's inimitable, something that's different, like a vine draped courtyard or a really cool cinema. So that kind of thing. The biggest thing about it was it feeling individualistic, and we wanted to, I'm not going to say any names, but I think we all know that there are some publications, and like, it's just working in the industry, and that's how we know, where a lot of the awards that are won are allocated and given to the big advertisers, and they seem a bit not genuine, and they seem like it's kind of breaking editorial integrity. And I think we really wanted to give hotels awards for being boutique-y and cool hotels, not just because they advertised with us. And we don't, and they, we're kind of set up for that not to ever happen, because, you know, boutique hotels, a lot of the time, they don't have the money behind them to do big advertising campaigns like a lot of these big brands. With that in mind, we wanted to make sure that like these hotels were being awarded for fair game and they weren't really backed up by an advertising budget. And I think that it really resonated as really authentic. And yeah, really, they competed for being the most boutique-y that they could be.
So where do you see everything going next? What's next on your plate for Hotels Above Par?
So a couple things, you know, we just had a really busy year. We launched our print magazine. So, and that got a lot of, you know, nice recognition. So next year we're going to do it again as an annual thing. Let me tell you, I don't know if you've ever done a print magazine, but like putting it together and like all the back and forth, it is a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
Like I like have garnered so many more gray hairs in the last 7 months than I ever have in my life. Like it's so funny. Like I'll look at myself in the mirror and I'm like, oh my God, like this print magazine has aged me. But it's done now. And, you know, I'm so proud of how it came out, and our team did such an amazing job in helping conjure the vision. And so that was a big thing. And, you know, people really value print. There's a resurgence in print going on right now. People love it.
Really?
So,
yeah. Just the cover that you can see on the website is gorgeous. So I cannot wait to flip through it.
So it's an annual thing. It's just one magazine a year.
Yep, one a year. Yeah, so this was our first one. We'll do it again next year. And all this, what's nice is all the stars got a page in there. the ones that won awards. And then in addition to that, we had a couple of destination guides. And it's really a magazine for people who love, love, love boutique hotels. Because then at the end, there's like 8 essays from 8 of big, really great freelance journalists about different things in hotels. Like, what's it like to go to hotel school? What's it like to, these are the hotels that are like, are groundbreaking with their retail concepts. Like, and so it's really, if you love hotels, then I feel like you'll love that magazine. At least I hope. We kind of quietly just launched a booking engine. And that's going to be a big focus for next year. And with the booking engine, we're doing it in partner with this travel agency called Essentialist. So what's really cool is if you book a hotel with us, like 40% of them, you'll get like VIP perks. So whether that's early late check-in or like daily breakfast or a $50 spa credit, like all those kind of things, because Essentialist has relationships with a lot of these hotels. And if they don't, but they're still on the booking platform, which is like Sabre, there aren't VIP perks attached. But what we're trying to do is next year is come up with a comprehensive program where there's VIP perks or just really perks for all of the hotels. And so just really going to build on that. And I think the important thing here is to maintain our editorial integrity and not be too salesy, not be like, oh, buy this, book of it. You know what I mean? Like that, I think, would ruin like the integrity that we have with our readers and our brand. So, it'll be really interesting to see how this like really like plays out. But yeah, we want to be also like a booking engine for people who love boutique hotels and want fun, cool VIP perks or just really advantageous like kind of elements when they do stay there. So that's a big focus for next year for sure. Another print issue, and then just growing our readership. You know, we're at around 400,000 monthly readers now, and I'm so excited about that. Let's get to 700,000 next year. So
yeah. Well, we're definitely gonna talk about you on our newsletter.
And I will put you guys in our newsletter too.
People can sign up for the newsletter on the website, so they can just do everything right there, right?
Yep, exactly. Yeah,
I'm very excited for you and this whole thing. Like, this is amazing. Like, it's just, it's fun to see, and it's fun to support something that's so genuine. And like,
yeah,
I feel like it has all the right ingredients.
I so appreciate all the support.
It's like, you can tell it's high end and quality, but it doesn't feel too elitist. Obviously, this is quality, and there is a target of people who can travel and have like disposable income, but I don't feel like it's, I feel like you're talking to everyone.
Yeah, I try to, have that message go out that it's for everyone. We actually have, while we feature like really luxe boutique hotels, we also have a series called Affordable and Adorable. And that's where we highlight boutique hotels in a certain locale that have starting nightly rates under 250. So we try to, like you said, this niche and like having a wide audience and appealing to everyone while still seeming refined. Like, that's the goal that we really try to put forth. So I'm happy that that's resonated.
Yeah. I think you're also giving a good name to boutique hotels in the sense that too often shitty hotels will consider themselves boutique, and they'll be like, we're boutique. And I'm like, you should still have some level of cleaning standards.
Yeah. I got a pitch from a very corporate hotel. And it was like the antithesis of like corporate. It was the antithesis of boutique. And it was just like, I was like, what? Like, did you like, why did you think I would cover this? Like, I like, are you, do you not read our content?
Probably not. They probably like just reached out to everyone.
it was really funny. I was like, God, I hope the message is getting across that we feature boutique hotels.
It definitely is.
Yeah.
Okay. So where are you traveling next?
Good question. So we're doing a big partnership with Tampa. So I'm going to Tampa next week, AKA the Paris of Florida. No, I'm kidding. I'm excited. I really do like Tampa, and I am excited to go because there's this really cool neighborhood there called Ybor City. And I love an area where there's like cool indie boutiques. Like, we opened up an online shop, and it's just like cool boutique indie brands that relate back to travel. And we do a thing where it's like the coolest boutiques to shop at, indie boutiques or individual like, to shop at in different cities. And so we're going to do one for Tampa. And then we're doing a destination guide and then some other things. But after that, I'm going to Sri Lanka, which will be cool. And then I'm going to India with my boyfriend. Yeah. Some fun trips in the next 3-4 weeks.
That's so exciting.
And I think we just have one last question for you, which is, what is your favorite hotel?
Ooh, that's a hard one. But if I were to narrow it down to two, I would say Casa Angelina on the Amalfi Coast. It's this beautiful hotel. It's really my happy place. And it overlooks the sea. It's whitewashed and contemporary, which is kind of a different decor than a lot of the other hotels in the area, which take on more of like a traditional kind of look. The service is impeccable. Like I said, the SMEs and someone's like, here, from the team, like the breakfast is phenomenal and the food for lunch and dinner is amazing. They've got a really beautiful beach at the bottom called La Gavitella Beach or One Fire Beach. And it's one of the only places in the area that you can swim because it's a lot of the Amalfi Coast is quite rocky. So this is like one of the accessible places. In addition to that, they have all this amazing art that's like Murano glass and really cool inventive pieces throughout the place. And like I said, it's like a big whitewashed color palette. So it feels quite contemporary and I'm very much into like contemporary decor. So there's that. And then the other one I would have to say is Forestus, which is up in the Dolomites. This is truly one of the most remarkable hotels I've ever stayed at. You've probably seen it. It goes viral via different videos all the time. But they had this one presidential suite where we had our own sauna and our own pool, and it looked all over the snow-capped peaks of the Dolomites. And it was two floors. It was really one of the nicest rooms I've ever stayed in. So I'm gonna have to make it those two, but I feel like it'd be weird. I feel like it'd be bad if I just said Italy. So Casa Hoyos in Mexico is another one that I absolutely love. They won a star. Actually, all these three hotels, like I love them so much. They all won stars, these three. So, but Casa Hoyos is like a Spanish hacienda courtyard in San Miguel de Allende, which is really one of my favorite places on earth. And then you have like this hacienda style and it mixes really cool kind of a fusion with like exposed concrete and like kind of different contemporary elements. And so it's a really cool spot. So yeah, those three.
Those sound amazing. I would love to stay in any one of those. Wow. Yeah. I mean, you can't go wrong with Italy. Italy just wins. Like
if someone doesn't like Italy, like they're the problem. Italy is never the problem.
You are the problem. If you don't like Italy,
100%.
It's the food. Oh my, even the shitty food is good. Like, I would go and get like some random pasta at a random place and I'm just like, this is the best thing I've ever eaten in my life.
Yeah, my boyfriend and I love Italy. It's really one of, we've gone back so many times. We love it so much.
I have one question. So that, I mean, those are your all-time favorite hotels, but what's your favorite New York hotel? If you're in New York, obviously, and like you want to just go and chill or you want a staycation, is there a New York favorite?
Yeah, it's a tie between the Greenwich Hotel and they have this wonderful restaurant called La Conda Verde, which is so tasty. They have a minus one guest basement, we could call it. So they have a basement with like a really cool pool and there's a beautiful like Japanese inspired spa. The rooms are just fitted in really cool furniture that's like new and cutting edge. It's feels quite luxe. It's kind of a handsome kind of space, a lot of browns, a lot of dark blues. So there's that. And then I would say the public hotel, Ian Schrager is a genius. I mean, he really coined the term boutique hotel and public, which really gives a luxury for all kind of message, is one of his latest creations. And it's a really awesome, hyper contemporary spot. They have, I think that I heard that they might've just closed it, but they have a phenomenal gift shop. I love a hotel that has like cool things in the gift shop that are like from that town or like from the hotel itself, you know? So there's that, and they also have like a really great rooftop bar, which is really fun and has beautiful views of the city. So yeah, I'm going to have to say public because Ian Schrager, and then the Greenwich Hotel, because it's just such a special oasis in a city that's always hustling. So
yeah, I've heard about the Greenwich. I've never been there, but I've like always wanted to go. This looks like you're not even in New York. It gives a different vibe.
They have this courtyard in there that's for guests only, and it's just so beautiful. It's like draped with vines and it just really feels like an oasis. So
yeah,
I definitely would recommend going to Phuket's too. It's a cool spot, which is this beautiful, like it's a French brand. They have like three or four hotels in France, but this one is just, it's remarkable. It's like pure French chic that feels so bona fide and authentic. And like, it feels as if you're in a slice of Paris at a luxe hotel in the middle of Tribeca. So
that's amazing. Thank you so much for taking the time, answering our questions, giving us the inside information, like all this stuff. We really, really appreciate it. And we love supporting you and your amazing Hotel Above Par magazine and business and everything.
Yeah. And real quick, tell everybody where to go to follow you.
Yeah. Go to www.hotelsabovepar.com. Follow us on Instagram at Hotels Above Par. And yeah, we're always welcoming new boutique hotel lovers and readers. So definitely shoot us a follow. And oh, also sign up for our newsletter.
Of course. They have
perfect.
You might get a star if you sign up. No, I'm kidding.
Thanks for listening to Hotel History. You can follow us on most social media platforms, Patreon, and Substack by searching for Hotel History or Hotel History Podcast. If you like what you hear, please leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify so we can reach more listeners.